So I've mentioned a few times in prior episodes that there's six different leadership styles, kind of like golf clubs in a bag is the analogy I've most often used. But these are defined by the Korn Ferry Hay Group's research over several decades, observing workplaces, pulling in data in terms of the behaviors that leaders exhibit. Today, I want to dig into one of those leadership styles specifically, which is the directive style. It's the Leading on Purpose podcast, helping leaders, teams, and organizations lead more intentionally, effectively, and with purpose. As the Korn Ferry Hay Group conducted its research over the decades, as I mentioned in prior episodes, these leadership styles that we'll explore each have a time and place. The directive style, though, is one of those styles that the Korn Ferry Hay Group, through its research, discovered also has a time and place, but needs to be used more sparingly. And the reason for that is it doesn't resonate as much with members of the team when this particular style is used consistently day in and day out over time. And this is a style of leadership that is really focused on providing directives. It's almost just like it sounds, telling people what to do. So I want to start off by giving you really the textbook definition from Korn Ferry Hay Group on the directive style. And then I want to get into some examples of, again, when it's appropriate, when it's less appropriate, and the confusion that can sometimes be there when we think we're leading with maybe a coaching style or a visionary style. But the team's perception, how it's landing with them is, boy, you're being really directive right now. So, textbook definition, the primary objective of the directive style as defined by the Hay Group is to gain immediate compliance. And so let your mind go ahead and gravitate towards some of those examples that exist in your work as a leader. There are times when we need to gain immediate compliance. So there's already an idea of appropriate use of this style. Now, the directive style relies on directives rather than direction. And so that's a key distinction here when we think about the gap sometimes between intention and perception. If our intention is, I want to provide a little bit of direction, but the team is perceiving it as hard and fast directives, leadership's in the eye of the beholder. We're actually being directive. We're not providing guidance, support, and direction that we might think that we are. There's little or no context setting or dialogue. So it's a key distinction here between the directive style, and later on we'll explore the visionary style, which I think everyone has heard of. Both styles will tend to tell people what to do, where we're going. The key piece that directive is most often missing that really creates a distinction between it and visionary is visionary is going to give you the whys. Here's why we're going to do it that way. Here's why this particular expectation or process is so important to us. The directive leaves all that out. It's really down to here's what I need you to do and here's when I need you to do it. And those are really the key things that differentiate this style from, let's say, the visionary style. So no context setting or dialogue. Feedback does occur through the lens of the directive style. If any, though, this feedback will tend to be negative, corrective, and at times coercive. And I want to talk about that a little bit more when we talk about some of the subtle nuances in the use of this style. Oftentimes, through the lens of feedback, it comes with an implied or explicit threat to ensure compliance and enforce our norms and standards. So really, you know, textbook definition there for the directive style. Now, again, your mind might gravitate towards, is there a time to have consequences? Is there a time to tell someone on the team when you're giving them feedback, I need you to do it this way by this date or else? Absolutely. But unfortunately, I think what I notice a lot of times is we're guilty as leaders sometimes of not giving feedback soon enough. And so we'll let a situation kind of fester, snowball over time when we could have maybe nipped it in the bud a little bit earlier. And once it is snowballed and it's gotten so big and we have to deal with it, we'll jump to this directive style where we really have no choice as a leader but to say to someone, fix it or else. And so in later episodes, when we talk about, for example, the coaching leadership style, is using coaching maybe a little earlier in the situation before it becomes a snowball to get someone bumped onto the right track. Before it snowballs into this big issue that now we're forced to really build some consequences around. So Korn Ferry Hay Group says, hey, basically this style, the directive style, is most effective when really applied to simple, straightforward tasks. So it's, hey, there's only one way to do this, and here's the steps to do it. In crisis situations, which I mentioned earlier, when non-compliance could result in serious problems. And so my interpretation of that is, one thing I'm not a big fan of when I'm leading a team is allowing people to bump their heads unnecessarily for the sake of learning. And I think you do learn from failing. I think you do learn from stepping into a situation where you don't get it right the first time and you're forced to navigate and adjust. And you know, you really build a lot of competency and capacity by facing adversity and stepping into situations that aren't successful maybe out of the gate. What I'm talking about avoiding, and what this points to for me in terms of non-compliance could result in serious problems, is when you know what your team member is about to do or your employee is about to do is a train headed for a brick wall. I don't allow that situation to play out. I don't want my team, my employees, to face unnecessary harm. And so be cautious with this directive style, you know, when we're really looking at compliance versus non-compliance. I think we need to step in and say, hey, time out. I'm all about your learning and development, but I'm going to tell you right now, the track that you're on, we're headed for that brick wall, and we need to prevent that from happening. And that's a really appropriate use in my mind of the directive style. One final piece here that the Hay Group defines with chronically underperforming team members. And so an interesting piece for us as leaders, when we find ourselves having to be directive with someone, someone is not performing well, and we really start to zoom in terms of the feedback that we're giving them, we get even more critical. We start to have to lay down consequences for this individual. Hey, do it or else, do it by this date, or this is what's going to happen. If that's not working and the person continues to underperform, sometimes our tendency can be to do even more directive leadership. And so you can really get yourself down a negative path here as a leader when someone is underperforming, if we haven't tried maybe one of the other styles, such as coaching, which real briefly, you know, its focus is really on the person and understanding what ideas, what's the perspective of the person that you're coaching? What ideas do they have around fixing their own problem? And we'll get into that later in terms of why that tends to be more effective when we're giving feedback. But again, avoid this temptation when we're using the directive style and we're laying down consequences. And if it's our first at bat with this person in terms of giving them feedback, based on a particular performance issue, avoid that tendency to say, let me start with directives. And then if you're not doing it, I'm going to come back with even more consequences. You may have missed an opportunity to coach this person, to take a little more time to listen to what led to the performance miss? What's going on for you? What's your perspective on the situation? And so that's my interpretation of this last one here that the Hay Group defines around when this directive style is most effective. So switching gears, the Hay Group also provides some bullet points around when this particular style, the directive style, is least effective. When applied to complex tasks and situations requiring detailed information. Okay. So directives are really, the directive style is really intended to be short and sweet, used in small doses. If the situation has much more complexity than that, extra steps, it might not be the right style to lean into. Another time it's ineffective, with self-motivated, capable employees. And so one of the things that the directive style does over time, and in my mind, why it really leads to a negative environment and potentially negative results, is if you're always telling people what to do at every turn, at every step, it creates a dependency between you and the members of your team. Meaning if you're not there, they might not be sure what to do. And so where it's disengaging is with these self-motivated, capable employees who are stepping into the workplace each day saying to themselves, I've got more to offer you. I can think through problems and complex tasks. I don't need you to tell me what to do all the time. It can really take the wind out of those types of people's sails. When you as a leader are always in there telling, do it this way, do this, do that. It's not only creates a dependency on you, which can be tiring. it's really frustrating to someone who's of a high caliber in terms of their ability to step in and solve problems for themselves. Another time, and this is for me sometimes related to feedback, the directive style is not effective at all when it's used in anger or frustration or with sarcasm. And I know I've been guilty of this in the past as a leader when I'm really pissed off about a performance miss or a situation that occurred. One thing I learned, I think a lot of us have heard before, spacing out stimulus and response, giving yourself some time between the actual situation that you saw and reacting to it. That's really important when it comes to this, because the directive style, when we go to give someone feedback, sometimes we're doing so in a very reactionary fashion, meaning I've got to get this off my chest. So I'm going to sit down with you right after it happened and deliver some really tough feedback to you. And it's not that I'm not a fan of tough feedback, but if we haven't taken the time to really think it through, to calm down in terms of our emotions and reactions, and most importantly, and this is where the coaching style again is different when it comes to feedback, finding a place in our heart and our mind to prioritize the person, to find it in our mind and heart to believe in the person's potential to improve the situation. When you're reacting in the moment and we sit down with that person and we kind of zing them with feedback because we're pissed off about what happened, the priority of the person kind of goes away. And again, the priority is about either getting something off of our chest, getting emotions out, or making sure we don't endure that pain again. Hey, fix this now. I don't want to see this again. And it's typically less constructive on the receiving end. It may feel good to you in the moment, but I can almost promise you it's not effective on the receiving end. It's not landing the way that you would intend. So a couple more here in terms of situations in which the directive style, the Hey Group would tell you it's less effective. When the stated consequence of not complying is unrealistic or is not enforced. So if we were to sit down with someone and we're really passionate about them improving the performance that we're looking at, and we lay down some consequences that we just know we're not going to hold the line on, or we're holding someone to a standard that no one else is meeting, those are examples of this situation. The directive is really going to blow up in your face because you're just going to encounter a lot of resistance, either on the front end, if the person you're coaching or providing feedback to through this directive lens, if their perception is, yeah, that standard never upheld, or we're inconsistent about it, I'm the only person that's being held to the standard, this directive style is really going to blow up in your face. Last situation in which the directive style is least effective based on the Hey Group's research, when used as the only or the preferred style. And so a lot of defaulting going on out there when we face crisis situations. So you go back to the years of the pandemic, definitely a time when there was a lot of defaulting, and we felt as leaders that, boy, I've got to direct people. I got to tell people what to do. And again, if that's the only style you were using, and if that was your style of choice based on the circumstances you were in, you probably have done yourself a lot of harm in terms of the relationship with your team. So really a lot of missed opportunities when it comes to the use of the directive leadership style. But it's just an often confused style. Again, I think there's definite times and places for being directive. I think if I've tried coaching someone, truly understanding their perspective, truly understanding what's going on for them that maybe led to the performance issue I'm addressing, truly getting curious about their perspective. Let's say I've done that process 2, maybe 3 times based on an issue, and we're still not getting anywhere. Now it's time to pull out the directive style. And you're really forced to come to the person at that point and say, you know what, we've tried. We've tried to sit down on this occasion and this occasion, and we've tried it your way. You know, I've really entertained your perspective and ideas around how to fix this performance issue we've been talking about, and I'm still not seeing it. And so now it's time to shift to directive, where we say to the person, there's consequences now in not improving this concern that we've been talking about for so long. So very appropriate moment. Another time I think about is with brand new members of your team. These folks don't know what to do. And so out of the gate, a good small, you know, kind of healthy dose of directive to really tell people what to do what the expectation is, what specifically you're asking of them. Great time for the use of the directive style because people just don't know what the expectation is yet. And so when people are lacking that information, another time with directive when it's appropriate, again, in kind of a small dose, is if you're just noticing a member of your team, or maybe let's say the whole team has kind of fallen off on a particular standard, the directive can be used to just quickly reset the bar. Hey, let me tell you one more time what it, you know, what the standard is, what specifically we're looking for, and you just quickly reset that bar and you pull back in terms of your use of that style. So that's a small moment when directive is very appropriate. These crisis situations that we talked about, again, another very appropriate time for the use of this style. You know, the urgency of a situation, you've got a looming deadline, all very appropriate times for the use of directive. So where this style is so often confused in my eyes and what I observe with leaders is, you know, really when we're in conversation with our teams and the process that I've seen that folks will call, you know, guided discovery or guided coaching, meaning I'm going to sit down a member of my team and make them think that I'm leveraging their ideas, but I'm going to ask them a particular set of questions that lead them in the direction that I want them to go, that provide the learning insight I want them to have. And it's not that that's necessarily bad, but that's kind of a preferred style for a lot of people. And in their minds, I think what they say to themselves as a leader is, I'm coaching. And I'm here to tell you, you're not coaching, you're being directive. Anytime we're in conversation with someone on our team, whether it's training them on something, brainstorming with them, providing them feedback, if we've already determined in our mind where we want the conversation to go, meaning we're working off of our agenda, we're being directive. And no degree of guided discovery, guided coaching can mask the fact that we're being directive and we're using the directive style, and that style may not be as effective for you in the long term. And so just something to really challenge yourself on, are we making that confusion as a leader where we're saying to ourselves, oh, I'm coaching them. But if we really looked at the conversations, we're asking particular questions that get people where we want them to go. We're not actually coaching. Again, we're using the directive style, which is appropriate at certain times, but not effective if we think that we're coaching someone. The other piece here, when you kind of examine the conversations you have with your team, or maybe you examine a feedback conversation you have with someone, the other way I can really observe and notice if we're using the directive style, and you might, you know, create some self-awareness around this for you, is who's doing most of the talking. And so if you're doing most of the driving when you're giving someone feedback, you're doing most of the driving in the conversation. There's not a lot of high levels of listening during the conversation. It's likely directive. And so the version of listening that most often is associated with the directive style is selective listening, which my wife would tell you, I'm very good at selective listening, and most of us are. But what that looks like and why it's directive is I will listen long enough when I'm being directive with someone on my team. I will listen long enough until either I think I know the answer to the situation we're talking about, till I hear something that's interesting to me, till I notice they mentioned something that was already on my agenda in terms of where I wanted this thing to go. And so if we're choosing things to hear in the conversations with our team and using that to guide the agenda of the conversation, the agenda of our motives with our team, we're being directive. And you can't really call it anything else. And again, this style is defined by the Hay Group, Korn Ferry Hay Group, over the decades, will lead you to negative climate, will lead you to burnout, will lead you to dependency. And so sometimes when we use the directive style, you'll have members of your team who don't leave. They actually stay. And what they learn to do is, oh, check my head at the door. The boss is going to give me all the answers. I don't have to do any thinking. This is pretty easy. I'm now dependent on my boss. And that can be a really exhausting relationship to be in for you as the leader if you're the only one with the answers and they always have to knock on your door, you know, 20 times a day to get an answer. And so, you know, some things to think about. So shifting off of this style, if directive is high on your repertoire list and it's something you use very often, a few things to think about to really shift gears, maybe more towards visionary or towards coaching is, you know, when it comes to coaching, I always think about, again, high levels of listening. And I think about Stephen Covey's work around the five levels of listening. And one of the things he talked about when we really arrive at the highest level of listening, which he called empathic listening, the fifth level of listening, we cross this barrier, we cross this line, and all the way up through the lower levels of listening, which include ignoring, pretending, selective listening, attentive listening, where we've got all the makings of good listening, but we're not fully empathic yet. Level five is this empathic listening. The barrier that Stephen Covey said we crossed is whose frame of reference are you in? And so through those first four levels, pretending, ignoring, selective, and attentive, we're in our own head. We're on our own agenda. We're thinking in terms of outcomes we've already dreamed up. When we move into that other person's frame of reference, one, it's a vulnerable thing that we're doing there, but we really move to an empathic place. And that can be a good way to break yourself out of directive is to say, okay, who's doing the talking in this conversation? Whose frame of reference am I really living in? Am I in my own head? Or am I listening very openly and honestly to what this member of my team has to say? And so challenging yourself on listening can be a great way to shift from directive to more coaching behaviors. Another way to shift off of it is to just get curious. So even when you're providing someone feedback, to really go into those conversations with a genuine curiosity around, I wonder what their perspective is. I wonder what ideas they have. And it's not that we're setting aside the urgency or importance of the issue. It's that now we're getting curious around how do we fix it for good? And that can be a really powerful way, again, to shift from directive to coaching. Directive to visionary. So if we're out there providing a lot of directives, and we want to be providing direction, the big difference there is going to be the whys. And really coming in with, here's the long-term vision of where this is going. Here's why this is so important to our team, our broader department, the organization, to your development. Really providing those whys. And then maybe letting go a little bit of the whats and hows, letting your team help you determine those pieces. That can be a great way to shift off a directive into maybe more of a visionary approach. So again, if you're noticing yourself in some of these behaviors that I'm describing that are really the directive style, really urge you to challenge yourself to get off of those. And I know directive is really, really efficient. And so if you're in the type of leadership role where you don't have a lot of time on your hands, which I think is pretty much everyone, the directive style can be very efficient, meaning I go over here, tell these people what to do. I go over here and tell these people what to do. And so it can be a very efficient style in terms of the use of my time, because like coaching and visionary, where we're really asking for a conversation and we're getting curious and we're asking the team to weigh in with their perspective, that takes time. It's not as efficient. What I'm here to argue is it's more effective. And the directive style is less effective. And again, I've seen it with my own eyes, but particularly when you look at the Korn Ferry Hay Group's research over the decades, high use of the directive consistently over time leads to not so great things in terms of your team's environment and the results that they're achieving. And so really important thing here to urge yourself, me urging you basically, to get off of this directive style if it's one that you're defaulting to too often. So thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. Please like and subscribe wherever you're taking this podcast in. And in the next few episodes, we'll unpack the remaining leadership styles that the Hay Group defined in their research over the decades. Thanks so much and good luck shifting off of some of these directive behaviors.